Hey everyone, Adam Hoge here with a special edition of the Hoge and Johns podcast. Here's the deal. We had been planning on doing the podcast on Tuesday this week, and we had a Brian Urlacher interview scheduled, and the Bears went ahead and hired Matt Nagy on Monday, threw everything for a loop. We ended up doing the emergency episode yesterday, which you can find on WGNradio.com/Bears, and as well on iTunes, TuneIn, WGN Radio app. It's there. So if you missed that episode and our reaction on the Matt Nagy hire, you can check it out there. In the meantime, though, we still wanted to get you this Brian Urlacher interview, which we had to do separately. So consider this a bonus episode, a supplemental episode, or whatever you want to call it. But we did want to get you Brian Urlacher, who is a finalist for the Hall of Fame, one of the greatest Bears ever, of course, and also has some thoughts on the direction of the Bears, Mitch Trubisky, the Matt Nagy hire, the whole deal. So without further ado, here is my interview, which I had to do solo because Johns isn't with me today. But here's my interview with Brian Urlacher. All right, Brian Urlacher joining us now. And Brian, we'll talk about this cool golf tournament you're playing in. But first, obviously got to start with the Hall of Fame. Congratulations on being named a finalist. It has to be an interesting situation. I bet if you had a bunch of people from Chicago voting on this, like me, if I could vote, you'd feel pretty good about this situation coming up. Yeah. But it is a little unpredictable, isn't it?
Yeah, first of all, thanks for saying congratulations. Yeah, you just never know with the situation. You know, I've learned over the last couple of years, just don't have any expectations. I think that's the best thing, the way to go about it, just whatever happens, happens. Hopefully it works out this year. If not, you know, just see what happens. But I have no expectations. I won't be disappointed. If I don't get in, I'll be excited if I get in. Just see what happens, I guess.
You know, there's a couple of guys, I think, from your defenses here in Chicago that have Hall of Fame cases.
For sure.
The one interesting one, I think Lance Briggs is kind of the obvious one. But Charles Tillman, mm-hmm. to me, Charles Tillman has a case. And I know, look, he's not the first person to ever invent punching the ball out and forcing a fumble. But mm-hmm. the way he brought that technique to the game and incorporating it into still being a very reliable tackler, give me the case for Charles Tillman to get in the Hall of Fame.
Charles doesn't get his due as a coverage guy. Charles was a great cover corner. We put him on Randy Moss one-on-one. We put him on Calvin Johnson, one-on-one. We played Detroit. And we leave him on all game. You know, we didn't have to worry about it. And not to mention all the picks he has, all the cost fumbles, all the takeaways, all the touchdowns. I can go on. You know, this dude, he tackled. He did everything you want out of a corner. So his case is strong, in my opinion. Lance is obviously up there with anybody, in my opinion. But Charles, you know, I don't know how much light he'll give. He should get a bunch of looks just because there's no one who has the amount of fumbles he has caused at the corner position. He has his picks are up there with a lot of guys as well. I think you look at his total takeaways, and it's got to add up to more than anybody else, and I would think, or be pretty close.
And you're absolutely right about his coverage. I've told him this before. Watching him go one-on-one with Megatron and all those battles that you guys had against Detroit, it's mm-hmm. so fun to watch just from a one-on-one standpoint.
Yeah, we knew that. I mean, Megatron wasn't going to beat us. We knew that because we gave Charles help over the top because Megatron's a great player. But, you know, the battle of the line of scrimmage between those two was phenomenal. I mean, Charles got his hands on every play. Calvin was always trying to push Charles off. So there were some great battles just out of line of scrimmage with those guys. But they probably ended up even over all those games. But that's pretty good, even if you consider the type of player that Calvin was.
Yeah, no kidding, because he's, you know, there's another Hall of Famer right there in that conversation.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
Hey, so I don't know how much you tend to look back, but you just look at recent Bears history, really, in the last 30 years or so. I mean, what mm-hmm. you guys did defensively under Lovie Smith is really the peak of what the Bears have accomplished in getting to the Super Bowl since they won it back in 85, which everyone loves to talk about. But the point here being, I mean, how much do you look back at those times and wonder how long you would have played had Lovie Smith not been fired?
That's a good question. I asked myself that same question. I don't know, honestly. Probably I could have played another. Well, my knee was pretty bad there. The last year I played, my knee was bad. I never did get it fully rehabbed because I didn't get healthy until right before training camp. And then I felt like after the season, it was finally helped. I could run and stuff, you know, I could do things to get it in shape again, but didn't get the opportunity. You know, I retired before that. I didn't work mm-hmm. out with the Bears, but I probably could have played two or three more years if Lovie would have been there, because Lovie took care of us in practice. You know, I knew his scheme, so it wasn't like I was going to get mentally, it was easy, just because I knew what I was doing every play. Physically, you know, I just, as long as I could do it physically, I think there was no issues. But it's too bad what happened. You know, we've seen what happened to the Bears since they got rid of Lovie. Not only Lovie, but Jerry Angelo. Since they got rid of Jerry, it's kind of been downhill.
Yeah, I know, because that certainly started all the changes that ended up happening. They're still trying to recover here. So speaking of that, another head coach they just hired. What are your thoughts on Matt Nagy?
I like the direction they're going. I don't know a lot about Coach Nagy. I think he's done a great job in Kansas City. They score a ton of points. They do a lot of different things. You know, they got some dynamic players there in Kansas City, just like the Bears do. You look at their running back situation is great. They're going to have to get some receivers healthy. I think, you know, not everyone they get always gets hurt, I feel like. So they got to get some help there. The offensive line's good. The defensive line's solid. Thing I worry about is I hope they keep Coach Fangio. You know, I think that's a big deal there. If they can keep him with that staff, I think it's going to help tremendously. But I'm excited about this new guy coming in. Mitch is going to be good. I think it's going to be good to get those two working together.
So tell me a little bit about defending a West Coast-style offense, because that's where Matt Nagy comes from. You went up against Andy Reid as a player. I'm sure he'll bring his own wrinkles. But what's it like defending that style of offense, and how do you think Mitch Trubisky fits into that?
It's just I feel like it's an up-tempo offense. They never get behind the sticks. If you know, it's always 3rd-and-2, 3rd-and-3, 3rd-and-4. You know, they always find a way to get in that second medium so they don't put themselves 3rd-and-8, 9, where your defense has the advantage. And I felt like whenever we played those teams, they were always in front of the sticks. So you could never, you know, defensively, if you get in 3rd-and-2 or 3, they know you're going to be in man coverage. So they run man routes. You can try and trick them every once in a while, but they're always in a good situation with knowing the coverages and putting their quarterbacks with a good chance to be successful. They always run the ball well. It's not really a power running game, but they always feel like they're pretty balanced in their run pass game.
How do you think Mitch has fared so far? What do you think of him and kind of how he'll fit into this style of offense?
I'm excited. You know, this was the first year since I retired. I was excited to be a Bears fan again. You know, Mitch brings a lot to the table. Not with what he does on the field, but just his personality, the way he handles himself. I really enjoy watching his interviews after the game and during the week. You know, he always talks about his teammates, and when he does talk about himself, it's what he can do to get better, not what he did or what he, you know, it's always about how good the O-line played, the defense played great, and I need you just to get better. He never really took credit for anything, which he should have, because he played pretty good this year, in my opinion, towards the end of the season. But I'm very excited with his abilities at quarterback, and he's just getting better and better.
You mentioned just being excited about being a Bears fan again. I think a lot of fans feel that way, getting that quarterback, because it's been so long to have youth like that really brought in and excitement. How hard has it been to kind of watch what's unfolded the last few years? Because this has been
I honestly haven't paid attention that much. Okay. You know, I live here in Arizona. I don't get a lot of the games. But this year I paid more attention. You know, the Bears had a few games on national TV, which helps. But I actually tried to pay attention more this year because I was excited. Coach Fox, I mean, I was a huge fan of Coach Fox, so I tried to pay attention to that too. But I really haven't been paying attention a whole lot since I left. You know, my kids keep me busy. We're always running around. So I haven't really been watching under a microscope what the Bears have been doing.
All right, so I'm interested in how much time for golf have you gotten in? Because you're playing in this Diamond Resorts Invitational Celebrity Golf Tournament this weekend, right? You're gonna. How's your game gonna stack up?
We will see. It was really good for a while last summer, and then about June, I hit a slump, and I'm still in the slump. I don't know what's going on with me right now. I actually tried to quit playing for 3 or 4 weeks and see if that would help. It didn't. So we'll see. You know, hopefully I don't embarrass myself down there, but the tournament's so fun. So many great celebrities, and there's, I think, 25 or 30 PGA players, LPGA and PGA Tour Champions players there. It's a great mix and a ton of celebrities. It's a fun deal. You know, we do the same thing in Tahoe every year in July, and this is kind of great for the winner to get down to Orlando and play in it. But they do a lot of stuff for charity for this tournament as well. It's just a fun week to be down there.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the names here. John Smoltz, Tom Glavine, Greg Maddux. I mean, that's the trifecta, one of the best pitching staffs ever.
The Braves, I know. I was a fan of theirs back when I was a kid, too. And I got a chance to meet all of them. You know, 3 years ago playing these tournaments, you get a chance to meet all these guys. It was just, it's so cool to be around them.
Hey, another golfer that it seems like just following the news that you've become pretty tight with over the years is Aaron Rodgers. Is that accurate?
I wouldn't say we're tight. We're friendly. You know, we play in Tahoe together every year. We see each other, but he's a great guy. You know, he's a very, very competitive, not only football player, but golfer. You know, he wants to win every time. There's a reason he's, you know, a great quarterback. He's a competitive guy, and he doesn't like losing. Neither do I.
Well, I think it's really cool when guys from across one of the best rivalries in sports have the respect for each other the way you guys did. What did you think of the comments he had for about you, I think just last week, talking about your candidacy for the Hall of Fame?
I saw that. Very humbling. You know, when a player of his stature, and we had some great games, you know, and like you said, the games, the discussions we had between plays at the line of scrimmage sometimes was fun. That's what I missed the most, is, you know, the interaction during the games. With him, it was a blast because there was always something to be said, or, you know, he knew our checks, we knew his checks, and it was always a big cat and mouse game at the line of scrimmage. But, you know, a player of that caliber says something like that about you, it means a lot.
Well, really cool. This is the Diamond Resorts Invitational, which, has, you mentioned this a little bit, has raised $2.3 million for the Florida Hospital for Children in recent years. So a cool event. Best of luck. You know, you don't really have any excuses because you're down in Arizona, right? So you get golf year-round. Up here in Chicago, you know, we go into hibernation for 6 months, and then, you know, we can blame our poor golf, you know, in April and May on the fact that we haven't played in so long.
Yeah, I know all about that. That's why I live here.
Yeah.
That's why I come down here. But I have no excuses. My excuse is my mental capacity on the golf course, I guess. I can't put it together. Hopefully one of these days I will.
All right. Well, Brian, in the meantime, we'll just look for you on all those billboards on the highways up here in Chicago. You and Ryan Sandberg.
Yeah.
All right, man. Good luck, and good luck with the Hall of Fame as well. So there he is, Brian Urlacher, with some nice things to say about Mitch Trubisky. Likes the Matt Nagy hire. Of course, no one really knows, and we talked about this yesterday on the emergency Matt Nagy episode, what he will be like as a head coach. But from an offensive perspective, hard not to like it. And again, if you missed that episode, it's episode 143 of Hogan Johns, and it is available everywhere where you usually listen to the podcast, WGNradio.com, iTunes, the TuneIn app, WGN Radio app. It's there for you. And we will be back next week. We'll figure out what's going on with Vic Fangio, the rest of his coaching staff. Still plenty to get to as Matt Nagy tries to put this all together as a new Bears head coach. So we're not going anywhere. We will be back with the next episode. When exactly, I don't know. But hope you enjoyed this interview with Brian Urlacher. We wanted to make sure we still got it to you, even though everything got kind of messed up this week. So hopefully you enjoyed this bonus episode of Hogan Johns. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. And read us at WGNRadio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. We'll talk to you soon.